Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're moments away from an Aroldis Chapman high and tight 102-mile-per-hour fastball, which, as usual, will be inaccurate and almost hit somebody in the head. That's called the Matt Cotrillo rant of the day, where headhunting is the key to his verbal tirades.
At least mine don't get hit into home runs all the time and blow the game.
No, yeah, I mean, you haven't hit a home run today. All right, so you walked into that one. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day.
The very first pitch to Joey Votto in his second at bat, and he launches it way out of here to right. Third home run of the game, and welcome back, Joey Votto.
That's a heck of a way to make your triumphant return.
Well, you know what? A team that I thought had very little chance of finishing higher than fourth in their division, in all likelihood, I thought would finish fifth, has won nine games in a row. Let's give the Cincinnati Reds a lot of credit. And Cincinnati is a great baseball town. They are a great baseball town. And nobody appreciates it more than those fans do, because they've been aching for a long time to see something like this. But they are not just a good baseball town. Cincinnati is a great baseball town.
They're in first place right now in a really, really, really atrocious division.
Yeah. What does that matter? Who cares?
No. Okay. Exactly.
I go back 1987, Minnesota Twins. Okay. Won the American League West. All right. Turned out that this was back in the years of alternating. All right. So it was the American League West turned to host the American League Championship Series to have the majority of games, and this would be at Minnesota. The Twins in the postseason of 87 did not win a single road game and won the World Series. It was like, and I remember at the time people were like, oh, gee, you know, that's, you know. I said, excuse me, what rule did they break? They were told if they beat these six other teams, they'd be in the playoffs. They were told if they won, I think it was best of seven back then, right? They won four games first. They got to go to the World Series. They won four games first in the World Series. They're champions. I said, which rule did they break? Doesn't matter how atrocious their division is. All you got to do is get in. Right? I've said this 1,000 times. All you have to do is get in the tournament. If you get in the tournament, you got a chance. Okay, Captain Critical. By the way, Jaylen Brown's going to probably sign the Supermax 5-year, $295 million deal with the Celtics. That just came out. So, what else is on your hit list today? You're on a roll.
So, the Flyers today.
Oh, we're going to do this team. Oh, this team.
This
team is not worthy talking about. Come on.
No, but it's just one of those things where, again, they can't even get this right. They put out what are supposedly new jerseys. They bring them back, the burnt orange. They look exactly the same as they have for years and years and years. They're trying to make this big thing that it's the burnt orange is back from the time. I mean, it's a little different from last year, and you see the little retro that they put into it. But honestly, it doesn't look at all different than anything else, especially the third black jersey. It's exactly like the Winter Classic one that they wore when they beat the Penguins at the Link a couple of years ago. So, like, we can't even get this right. You want to excite the fans? Win. Get back into playoffs. Show that you're an actual NHL hockey team that can compete consistently. and win games consistently. And, like, score goals. Show some skill. Enough of this Broad Street Bullies nonsense that's been going on for generations that's got you squadola. Enough with this going back to the, again, back to the Broad Street Bullies thing with this Bird Orange. You want to get me involved again? Win. And win like you do in today's NHL.
So it has been said, so it shall be written.
Okay.
So it shall be done, maybe.
So what's the next one? You're far from done.
No. This is the other one that got me going today. So the Braves, I've never liked this organization to begin with, the Atlanta Braves. Did you see this?
Oh, the team that won the World Series a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was nauseating. Right. Yeah, wonderful. Right. At least the only thing I can stomach about that is they at least beat the Astros, but whatever.
Well, hold on a second here. They've at least been and won and spent a lot less than $279 million.
Yes.
Spending a lot of money for very little results.
Well, anyway, so this guy that just got cut by the Braves, Charlie Culberson.
Yeah, I saw this.
It would be one thing if it's just a whatever kind of cut. Somebody came back up from the minors, and he was the odd man out. But the guy's father was apparently supposed to throw out the first pitch on Father's Day, and the guy gets cut the morning of. Oh, come on, that's a violation. You can't do that.
That's bad.
Come on now.
That's bad. I saw that. That's bad.
I mean, that's horrendous.
Yeah, that was a bad move. I saw it. I think it was on Sunday. I saw it. I was like, yes. I'm like, you have to be kidding me. Really? Like, who sat back and thought this was a good idea? Oof. That was not a good move. That was kind of low class. Felt bad about that. I bet he and the son were really looking forward to it, and all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. Yeah, that's that was a bad move by the Braves. What is it you don't like about the Braves? The fact that they won, win, what? What is it? And by the way, the Phillies have a big series, big June series with the Braves starting tonight.
Oh, yeah. At the bank.
That one is tonight. And the Orioles have a big series for them with Tampa tonight, starting tonight. Because the Orioles have been playing great baseball, and they've been doing it for about $230 million less than the Yankees.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Hey, goodness. Oof. Yankees spend money like the people who run the New York subway system do. It's like, here you go, just whatever. Nobody knows where the money goes. But yeah, the Orioles open up with the Rays tonight, and that's in Tampa. That's not in St. Petersburg. Not in Tampa. It's in St. Petersburg. And the Orioles start the day 3 back in the loss column. Okay, it's a game series. Tyler Glasnow, the former State College Spike, is going to go tonight. Cal Bradish is on the mound. Bradish is on the mound for the Orioles, who have just been an absolutely fun team to watch. They're 44-27. Don't get enough credit for everything they've done. I think it's been great to see what they have done. And not only that, you want to talk about quick turnaround. They play tonight, and they play tomorrow at noon. Okay. But they're 3 back in the loss column, 5 back overall, and playing 620 baseball. And what's amazing about the Orioles is their consistency. They have 22 wins at home, and they have 22 wins on the road. Wow. How about that? You talk about consistency. They've got it. Nice pitching staff. Mountcastle's been terrific. Hayes been terrific. I really like Rutschman a lot. And then there's the Braves. The Braves had the Phillies. Now, the Phillies have played really well. They've won 8 of their last 10, including their last 6 in a row. They're 8 games back now in this race. 8 games back of the Braves. But they're only 3.5 back of the Marlins in the race for second. And now, you know, I know you said the Central's atrocious, but at least both the Brewers and the Reds are both above 500 now. And the Reds lead the Brewers by a half game. And so that's who the Phillies have tonight. They've got the Braves at home, and this should be a pretty interesting matchup tonight because it's Spencer Strider against Ranger Suarez, and Suarez actually has pitched very well of late, and he's a guy I've always liked. I don't think he's awesome, incredible. I don't think he is a Hall of Famer or anything like that. No, of course not. But what's he done? This is what he's done in his last 4 starts. Against the Mets, he went 6 2/3, 5 hits, 2 runs. Nice. Washington, they took the loss, but it was 2-0. Okay. Then he started against Washington. 7 innings, 8 hits, 1 run. Okay. Phillies won 11-3. Then he started against the Dodgers. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. Okay. They won the game 5-4. Then against Arizona, 7 innings, 4 hits, no runs. And the Phillies won in 10-4-3. During the last 3 starts in particular, Suarez has gone 20 innings. He has given up 16 hits, 2 runs, both earned. In that same 20-inning stretch, he has struck out 18, and he's walked 5. I mean, Suarez has pitched very well over the past 3 weeks, and he will get the ball tonight against the Braves and Spencer Strider, who was on the mound. And Strider, by the way, has been up and down of late. They have been winning his starts. They've been winning his starts, including beating the Phillies. But he gave up 8 runs to the Mets. They won. He gave up 5 runs in 5 innings to the Tigers. They won. These are games they won 13-10 and 10-7. Okay. So he gets the ball tonight. Meanwhile, the Prince of Spider Tack is on the mound tonight for the Yankees against the Mariners. And by the way, you want to know why there are only 58 picks in the NBA draft this year? Why are there only 58 picks in the NBA draft, Matt? Not 60.
I knew this was happening, but I can't say I remember why.
I mean, you can't remember why. Come on! Cheaters never prosper. Come on.
Somebody did something.
Yeah. Yeah. Tampering violations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tampering violations by the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
And the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead, play the song. Come on, play the song. I mean, you're not even good at tampering. Come on, play the song. Come on. There we go. Let's all tamper together. Come on, tampering. There you go. Let's tamper. Okay, there we go. We finally wanted something. We tampered better than everybody else and lost a draft pick. There we go. All right. There we are. Let's all tamper together. Tamper, absolutely. Tamper. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And by the way, congratulations to Kate Scott. She's going to be one of the announcers for the Women's World Cup.
Not only that, she's the new Seahawks preseason announcer, too.
Yep.
She's had a heck of a stretch run here.
No, she's good.
She deserves it. Absolutely, she deserves
it. Kate's good. Kate's earned all the good things that she gets. I personally like Kate. So
she's replacing Kurt Menefee on the Seahawks broadcast.
Yep. It's good. It's great. And she'll do a great job. All right. Was there anything else on your docket today?
No, it was just those three things today that
just
got me going
three.
A little bit.
Oh, just
yeah,
three?
Just those
okay.
three, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Phil, I feel like Neil and I interrupted your role. I mean, I feel like you say, I feel like it's Animal House. Don't stop him. He's on a roll.
It was just a couple two-treat things today.
Hey. I mean, do you go home and tell your wife this stuff?
Sometimes I do, yeah, but then once again, I'm like, she always says, can you repeat that again? That went in through one ear and out the other. Hmm. Or it sports, I stopped listening.
Hey. Wow.
Hence why I can only get out my true frustrations on this show, because I'm venting to you and to people that actually know and are interested and sort of care about what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you tried to cut your own kid from T-ball. You were mad. I mean, it's kind of like the movie Major League. I'm telling you right now, you're going to throw at your kid in the father-son game. Get him off the plate. Get off the plate. Come on. Man up.
Yeah, I'm teaching him how to throw fastball, two-seam, four-seam, circle change, splitter. I'm teaching them all now. You got to teach them young. It's all about the fundamentals, as Nick Sirianni says.
Boy, that explains why you get it. Uncle Steve, why is my arm so sore? I'm like, well, look at your teacher. Okay, we'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, the NBA draft is going to be on Thursday night. Let's get to the three Center County players to talk about, two from Penn State and one from Belfont. And the one from Belfont is Derek Lively II. This is Kathy Drysdale's son. I remember watching Derek over at the Jordan Center when he was a kid playing ball in the back, and it's like, he's getting taller, isn't he? ESPN has Derek Lively going to the Mavericks with the 10th overall pick in the draft. He's a one and done from Duke. And around the rim, he's just fabulous. Blocking shots, finishing, not a bad passer, but he's not a guy that's a face-up shooter. But he will affect the game, especially defensively. And Derek is slated to be, according to ESPN, the 10th overall pick in the draft. In the second round, I expect no question in my mind, no matter what mock draft it is, that you're going to see Seth Lundy's name there. Jalen Pickett might be in that second round as well, and half of them seem to have Jalen in, and half of them have him out. ESPN has him in, and not only in, but just ahead of Lundy. They have the Washington Wizards taking Jalen Pickett at 42. And the Portland Trailblazers taking Seth Lundy at 43. Now, for those who have asked, why is Lundy considered in some ways a little better prospect than Pickett, even though Pickett's the second-team All-American? Lundy has that NBA-style game, the ability to shoot from the outside, play defense, athletic. Meanwhile, Jalen Pickett plays more of a game like Jalen Brunson of the New York Knicks. Right? Not going to wow you with his vertical or anything like that, but just a good, solid player that knows how to play. So Pickett and Lundy slated to go in the second round by ESPN with Derek Lively out of Bellefonte and Duke scheduled to go 10th on the ESPN draft board to the Dallas Mavericks. The NBA is the league where if you like advance past the second round, you have a chance.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. If you're looking at pre-owned inventory, you really want to have it with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee because they go over every car. And the service department that backs it all up every step of the way. Routine, difficult to handle it all with great technicians, pros. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. You're out of rants, huh?
At the moment.
You didn't really like my Eagles evaluation on the Sanders Swift thing, did you?
No, I thought it was perfectly valid. I 100% agree. I would have loved for the Eagles to have kept Sanders, but I just knew it wasn't going to happen.
And then Neil backed me up on it, made it even worse for you.
No, it was perfectly and perfectly said. And during the season, I was also questioning why the Eagles didn't give as many carries and touches to Sanders as they did. And I understand the way he feels and why he went to Carolina now.
Yeah, he got
totally
a lot of money.
Well, yeah, he got a lot. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He got some cash, babe, in the end. Guess what? I'll tell you, the expression Dick Girardi and I always have, especially when we get to the postseason, it's all about the paper, baby. It's all about the paper. I taught the suit that lesson a long time ago. I said, it is all about the paper. Your guy. The suit. All right. So, the NFL is going to reinforce its gambling policy to players. And basically what they're doing is they're doubling down, and there are going to be six critical rules of the gambling policy that the league is going to emphasize. Number one, and first and foremost, which is no change from any point in the history of the league, number one, do not bet on the NFL. All right, that's one. Two, don't gamble at your team facility or while traveling for a road game or staying at the team hotel. All right, so you can't lay down a bet at the facility, whether it's the lounge or the locker room. You can't do it while traveling with the team. And you can't do it when you're at the team hotel. It's considered to be within the confines of what they're doing at the time. You can't do that. Three, don't have someone bet for you. Right? So don't call up, you know, everybody knows that, you know, Matt and the suit are pretty tight.
Hey, suit, can you put something down on the Eagles?
They're 200-point favorites over the Saints. I think they'll win. Can't do that. Don't share team inside information.
I think Mark Lawrence has a sore throat.
You can't do that.
Okay.
Don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season. So you want to go over to, let's just say you're one of the Eagles and you decide to make a trip over to Atlantic City, go over to Bally's, but you want to eat at Guy Fieri's, okay? So you want to eat at Guy Fieri's, and you go there. But Sportsbook is down there in the corner, okay? You can eat at Guy's, but you can't go down to the Sportsbook, okay? And number three, don't play fantasy football. And essentially, that's gambling, too. I know the Eagles are playing the Giants this week, but I thought it was interesting that Jalen Hurts on his fantasy league actually had chose the Giants' defense. I'm confused. The issue with this really is, believe it or not, the phone. The phone is the issue in almost all of this. The ease with which you can make a bet now is like the ease with which you can get anything with your phone. You want information about something? You probably pick up your phone. You want to find out the latest news? You probably pick up your phone. Well, same thing with gambling. These guys who have some free time to them are probably sitting in the locker room and they're looking around saying, hey, you know what? The Suns are going to be playing the Blazers tonight. I really like the Suns. They're 3-point favorites or whatever, or they're minus 140 or whatever the number happens to be. I think I'm going to lay a little bit on it. Now, if you leave the facility and go across the street to the 7-Eleven, right, and you're out of range, you have to be out of, the key is you have to be out of range of the team's Wi-Fi. So, for example, say you go in the parking lot. I'm going to go in the parking lot. You're still within the confines of the facility. You're also within the confines of the Wi-Fi. You may go across the street and might still be in the confines of the Wi-Fi. And if you're in the confines of the team's Wi-Fi, that means they can track you, and as far as they're concerned, you're within the team facility. Okay? So you've got to go away from your training area. There's someplace independent, and you're allowed as an NFL player to make a wager on a college game, on a pro, on an NBA game, Major League Baseball game, college football game, college basketball game. You can do all that. You just can't lay a wager on an NFL game. And you can't lay any wager on any sport in the team facility or on the road at the team hotel or as part of the traveling party. Can't. So those are the six basic rules that they have come up with when it comes to the gambling policy. And I remember when the six players were suspended, two of them for gambling inside the Lions facility, so they got six games, and the other four are currently indefinite. The article started out of whether the NFL had done enough to emphasize this policy to the players or whether they're ignoring it. The NFL has done enough to emphasize this over and over and over again. It's on every sign. It's on signs all over the building. There's signs everywhere. They bring people in to talk to the players. They talk to the team. They talk to the players. Okay? You have people who just elect not to do it. Well, this is them re-emphasizing it. And this comes a month after the investigation that focused on Colts corner Isaiah Rodgers came to light. Now, that's still an ongoing investigation. That's not settled yet. And sportsbooks, by the way, are working in conjunction with the league that if they know, it's a known NFL player that's in the sportsbook, not allowed to be there. So there you go. That's the. To be honest with you, how much more straightforward are the rules supposed to be? I mean, and I think there, I don't think there's any doubt that I believe the last two states to legalize were last week, and one was North Carolina, and the other one was Vermont, I believe. So those are the last two states that have joined the other. So I think we're up to maybe, what, 34 states now, plus the District of Columbia, that have legalized sports gambling? Has it done something to bring more fans to the table? I think it has. Yeah. I think fantasy football, for example, has brought a lot more fans to the table. People having fun with fan, you know, it's something as simple as fantasy football. I'm not talking about FanDuel or DraftKings here. I mean, that's a little higher level. But, you know, there are a lot of people that play, have their fantasy football teams and are playing, and they're checking out every game to see how many points they're getting and so forth. I mean, you know, so I've credited that forever. Is legalized gambling? Well, gambling was happening before. It was offshore. But it's happening with greater frequency now because it's legal and you can easily put down a bet in a state. And there are probably a lot of you out there that had no idea how to make a bet offshore before. Okay? But it's also up to the leagues to police this and to be diligent about policing it, because the last thing you want is to have somebody question the integrity of your game. You can't have that. So those are the rules that they have articulated to the players, six basic rules that they have put down for the players in the NFL. So they reinforce their gambling policy. Yeah. You're mad at Dalvin Cook?
I'm not mad at him. I just think he's a little misguided. That's about it.
All right. Well, what else? You, there you go. That's you. Take a break, wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
FOULED, that spells founder.
Aaron Judge hasn't even hit one of those in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's not fun. I would take that over seeing Josh Donaldson do something stupid on the base paths, or Giancarlo Stanton striking out for the 1,000th time, or Gleyber Torres making an infield error for the 1,000th time.
I looked at the stats. They don't have 1,000 errors.
I must have missed that.
I think you're exaggerating.
I have been known to do that from time to time.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They are. All right. So, what, Yankees, Mariners tonight, Phillies, Braves tonight, Orioles, Rays tonight. And the NBA draft buildup continues, and it's going to be all Victor Wembanyama all the time. Look, I've only seen highlights of the guy. I have no idea. No idea. And he's 7'5". It looks like he moves really well. It's like he can block some shots. He has a great step back on his three. So, look, I mean, I give him... I mean, he looks like he's a terrific prospect. Terrific prospect. Now, whether or not, you know, we'll see how it plays out, because obviously, evidently the team he was surrounded by in France was very good. Was very good. And I think there's one of his teammates, somebody said that he might be draftable as well. Well, like I said, I've seen highlights. I mean, it looks like he runs the floor well. He can shoot the three outside. He's got a nice step back. Finishes. He can block shots, rebound. He's got a lot going for him. He's 7'5", so he's just a bit bigger than Matt. No. The question is going to be with him. I mean, does the hype match what we're about to see? Because potential is a very fancy word for saying you've never done it before. Playing in France, though, he has played among men, okay, to his credit. I mean, he has played among men. So that part won't be as much of an adjustment. The talent level will be, but it'll be interesting to see what he does in the league. There's no question he's the first pick. That's not even a question. It's just, to me, the question is he as good as the hype says he is? And I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know whether he can step in the league and be as great as they claim he can be. I mean, we may be sitting here a year from now and saying, like, wow, he is as great as the hype said he was going to be. We very well may be saying that a year from now. I just don't know. I can't go there yet. Only because I just want to watch him play. You know, there are a lot of ups and downs during an 82-game season. There are slumps you go through. I mean, I was talking about this with somebody earlier today. I brought up Anthony Volpe. I said, because I think the subject of Henry Davis of the Pirates came up, and he doubled last night. And Davis doubles, a big deal. The Pirates lost the game 8-0, you know. Okay, that's nice he's there, but they lost 8-0. And I was talking about Volpe. I said the key to long-term success is your ability to adjust. I said Volpe, just got off to a slow start, fine, but then he hit a hot streak. And in the hot streak he had, he showed everybody what he was capable of. But he also, at the same time, with each at-bat he comes up, what's he doing? He's providing everybody a book as to what works and what doesn't work against him. And right now, all that stuff that they have accumulated is working against him. They now know the cold spots to pitch to, what hot spots they need to avoid. And the key for longevity in any sport, whether it's Webinyama playing in the NBA or Volpe playing for the Yankees, is quite simple, okay? It's your ability to adjust. And right now, Volpe is trying to go through that adjust back period, and his ability to do that will then give us an idea of whether he has longevity in the league. But Wembanyama will go through a period of time where he plays really well, and he'll go through a period of time where he has to adjust, and then we're going to find out what kind of player he is, his ability to adjust back. Okay? And that's one of the keys to longevity in sports. Everybody goes through it. You're not going to have perfect games all the way through. You're not going to have perfect weeks all the way through. They're going to figure out how to play you. And then guess what? Because you're really good, you figure out how to play against them. And that's why I always take such a cautious approach with something. And I'm like, you know, do I think he has a chance to be really good? Sure. Can I assure you he's going to be really good? I don't know. He's got all the ingredients to be really good. Yeah, but what's it going to be like on a night where he matches up with a guy like Giannis? What's it going to be like on a night where he's going to match up with Anthony Davis? What's it going to be like when he matches up with Joel Embiid? He's going to have to match up with these people at some point. Right? And guess what? You may find out he's an absolute handful in the matchup, he wins. Or he may find out that these other guys are pretty good and I'm going to have to figure out ways to beat them. And the really good ones figure out ways to beat them. I thought this was one of your better shows.
Thank you. I always try every day.
I kind of felt like Wednesday last week. You didn't try at all.